I love milestones. I love unique days. And today is one of those days. This service in particular, we've set aside as a celebration of the Savini's fifth year with us. Fifth year. It's just amazing how quickly it has flown by from 2012 to 2017. Now, I know to many of you, I think of especially of our seniors, you say, 5 years, I've slept more than that, amen? And the truth is, you have, amen? If you literally sleep about a quarter of your life, so you think about it. But, you know, 5 years as a youth pastor, can I tell you this? The average stay of a youth pastor is 18 to 24 months in a ministry. 18 to 24 months. And so we're blessed in the fact that Pastor Donald, you've and Miss Marissa, you've doubled the average. Amen. You're heading towards even more than that. And we thank God for you, really. The book of Philippians is the epistle of joy. Some have called it the joyful Christian life. If you read the book of Philippians, the word joy, gladness, rejoice, rejoiced and rejoicing are mentioned a total of 19 times. And if you know the history of your Bible, you know that Paul had stopped in Philippi on his second missionary journey. And it's so interesting, Brother Becker, that God would quietly open Lydia's heart by the riverside. But he would use an earthquake to open the Philippian jailer's heart. Amen? By the way, aren't you glad for that? It tells me that though we all get saved through the same Jesus, and we all must come through Him, we come from a lot of different directions, don't we? I think about people that get saved young, simple, Miss Kim in a Sunday school class. Somebody listens to that message and gets saved right in your class. And then there are other people like, God bless him, David Majors, that got baptized this morning. 71 years old, got trusted Christ. For some people, it's as simple as a church service and somebody dealing with them. Brother Boston, for some people, it's a funeral. Huh? I thank God for that. Really, just varieties in conversions. And so the Apostle Paul had stopped off at Philippi, and somewhere along the line after those two conversions, a little church began. And it formed and it blossomed, and the Philippian saints, they loved Paul and they gave financially many times to help him on his journeys. You're in Philippians 2. Flip over probably just a page to Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to go ahead and start reading there in verse number 10. It says there, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That verse got me through Bible college when I moved to Michigan. Whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Amen. And then we came back and we're here to, you know, finish out the rest of our lives. Amen. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, here he's saying to the Philippian church, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, they didn't call him on the cell phone. They didn't text him. They didn't even send him to, they sent him what he needed at the time, which was finances. This church was a giving church. It says, now ye Philippians know also that at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning what? Giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift. And I tell you, this could be the missionary's theme. I see Miss Fan Brown back there. God bless you, Fan. Listen, we don't support Ian and Fan because they desire a gift. We don't. As a pastor, I could say the back half of the verse there. No, I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. Why do we support missions? I'm going to tell you what. Because one day, those of you that gave to missions, it's all going to be unrolled in heaven. And you're going to have fruit on your account. Praise God for people that get saved in South Africa. Because we have missionaries there. Amen? Praise God for people who get saved in Spain. And people who get saved in Peru. And people who get saved in Israel. Because we have missionaries there. Fruit. And Paul said, you know, you communicated with me. You gave to my necessity there. Thank you for that. Verse 18, but I have all and abound and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which sent an order from you, and a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto the Lord. The church at Philippi was a good church. If we lived in Philippi, we'd probably belong to the church at Philippi. Amen. It was a strong church. It was a soul-saving church. It was steadfast, but it had one glaring flaw that we see under the microscope of the Word of God. You know what the flaw was? I hate to say this to you. It's the same flaw that we have here at Loomis Park Baptist Church. It was full of people. That was the flaw. Now, you say, well, that's not a flaw. I know a lot of churches that aren't full of people, and that's a flaw. Amen. Well, that's a different flaw altogether. But it is as simple as this. People often can bother and be bothered by other people. And Paul, in a Roman prison, writes to the sweet saints of Philippi, and he encourages them, praise God, that opposition or lack or afflictions or sufferings don't have to steal our joy. Doesn't he know what he's saying? He's saying, hey, I'm in a Roman prison. I'm in shackles, but you know what? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's amazing. He beseeches the church to be unified or like-minded. Philippians chapter 2. You're back in Philippians chapter 2. And then look at verse number 2. He says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be what? Like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. This term like-minded, it's the Greek word is called phroneo, and it is used 17 times in Philippians. It's not just that phrase like-minded, it's translated into other words as well. But it's used 17 times, and one of the meanings is to be of the same mind, agreed together, cherish the same views, be harmonious. And it's summed up well here in Philippians 2:2. Hey, I want you to have the same love one for another. I want you to be in one accord. I'm telling you, as a pastor, I can hear Paul's pastor's heart. I can hear it beating, saying, hey, listen. Hey, listen. Hey, listen. You know what? We want to have true biblical unity. Because you know what? The opposite of that can tear a church apart. And it has through the years. Come on, help me, church. Many of you have been in churches where there was not unity. The opposite of unity is strife. Discontentment. I've been there. Paul here is saying we want to have biblical unity. And that starts in Philippians 2, 1 through 4 with an exhortation toward humility. It is impossible in a church with people who have all kinds of opinions and all kinds of personalities. It is impossible to have unity without humility. Because the opposite of humility is pride, and pride is always right, and only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs 13:10 tells us. And so the Apostle Paul exhorts the Philippians here to humility. Verses 1 through 4, we read it. It's beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful texts in the Bible there, and it's really summed up in verse number 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." There's an exhortation to humility, but then in verses 5 through 30, the Apostle Paul gives examples of humility, and he starts with the example of Jesus Christ Himself, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation. Hey, the one with the spotless reputation, Brother Jim, made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of the servant, and gave us that ultimate example of humility. Remember that last public action, or I should say private action He did? In John chapter 13, He washed His disciples' feet. Brother Ken, a sign of humility, a show of humility. And so there's the example of Jesus Christ in verses 5 through 16. There's the example of Paul in verse number 17 there. It says, "Yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service for your faith, I joy and rejoice that I'm willing to be offered." But then we run into verses 19 through 24. We have the example of humility of Timothy. He says there in verse 19, "I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man," what? "Like-minded." This word, "like-minded," is a different word. It's only used this one time in the Bible. And again, I said it this morning in my Sunday school class, I'm no Greek scholar. To be frank with you, I don't want to be a Greek scholar. I would like to learn, to help you to learn, but I'm not interested in correcting the Bible. A lot of Greek scholars get to become Bible correctors. No thank you. But this word, it's a very unique Greek word. It's the word isosukos. And we know that word sukos. Isosukos. The word suko, suke, soul. And what this phrase means is, Paul said about Timothy, he said, "I don't have any man except for Timothy that's equal in soul." Like-minded. Of an equal soul. He said this, "I want to send Timothy to you because he's got my heart. He's got my heart." I think about that. I want to tell you something about Pastor Donald tonight. He's got my heart. He's got my heart for the ministry. This young man is, the title of our message tonight is "Our Own Timothy." We have our own Timothy right here. We have our own Timothy. The second man, a help. He's our own Timothy. Timothy was like-minded with Paul in being a servant. And let me just tell you something, some things here about Timothy that I believe we could apply to our own Timothy here tonight. First of all, according to verse 19, number 1, he said there, "I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly." Can I say something about Timothy? He was a trusted servant. He was a trusted servant. The Apostle Paul trusted Timothy. What was he trusting with? He said, "I want to know your state." He said, "Timothy's not going to come back and sugarcoat it for me." He's a trusted servant. Can I tell you something about Pastor Donald tonight? He's a trusted servant. Hey, parents with young children that are coming up into the youth group, you can trust them with your teens. You can trust him with your teens. He is not going to contradict your authority. He's going to supplement it. And by the way, that's how it works. If your home is out of order, don't expect him to fix it. He's going to supplement. You can trust him. You can trust him to preach the Bible to your kids. Hey, my kids are in junior church. I trust him. I trust him to preach the Bible to my kids. He's a trusted servant. Timothy was a trusted servant. Something else we see about Timothy here, and I love this in verse 19. He says, "But I trust the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Can I say this, that Timothy was not only a trusted servant, but Timothy was a comforting servant. Timothy was a he brought comfort to Paul, didn't he? I'm going to let you into the pastor's office right here. This young man brings me great comfort when I have deep despair and discouragement over the state from time to time of our believers, of the faithfulness and unfaithfulness of our believers. This young man comforts me. He helps me. He helps me keep my focus. He helps me keep my eye on the prize. He helps me stay encouraged. He's a comforting servant. He is. He's a comforting servant. I thank God for him. Timothy was comforting to Paul. Pastor Donald brings much comfort. Not only just to me, I know this, he comforts many of you. Many of you, as you go through discouragement, he'll just put his arm around you and say, "Can I pray with you? Can I help you? Is there anything I can do for you?" A trusted servant, a comforting servant. Verse 20 says, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally," what? "Care for your state." Timothy was a caring servant. He really cared about the church at Philippi. He was with Paul on those journeys. He saw, remember, Timothy was with Paul on his second missionary journey. He saw what Paul went through, and he remembered how the church at Philippi had cared, and it provoked him to care. You know, that's one of the reasons why we ought to care. You know what it does? The Bible says in Hebrews 10:24, it talks about in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But verse 24 tells us to provoke one another to good works. You know, when you care, you provoke somebody else to care. I want to tell you something. That young man back there, he cares. He cares about you. Listen, when you're struggling, he cares. He cares. When you've got a wayward child, he cares. When you've got a young person that's going through a struggle, he cares. I thank God that Timothy was a trusted servant, and so is our Timothy. I thank God that Timothy was a comforting servant, and so is our Timothy. I thank God that Timothy was a caring servant, and so is our Timothy. I like verse 21. He says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's." You know what Timothy was? He was a spiritual servant. He was a spiritual servant. Timothy loved the Word of God. The Bible talks about that and how he came to know the Lord in 2 Timothy chapter 1, the unfeigned faith of his mother and his grandmother, and that was also in him. I thank God that when we have activities, Pastor Donald, and you know what? You do some crazy youth activities. That's what's called being a youth pastor. It's an excuse to be a teenager for an extra 15 years, amen? But there's always a spiritual end. We had a youth conference last year with scaffolding and all that. And I remember Pastor Donald come walking out of the baptistry, dinked his head, amen, and had sunglasses on and just cheering and all that. But you know what? You don't know about the fasting and prayer before. The spiritual stuff. You don't know about that young man just begging God to work. Timothy was a spiritual servant. He cared about the things that were Jesus Christ, that Paul had taught him. I want to tell you, our Timothy's a spiritual servant. And all God's people said, I love this. Verse 22. "But ye know the" what? "Proof." Timothy was a proven servant. Hey, many times through the years, I've seen people come to my pastor and say, "Pastor, I want to serve the Lord." And the pastor will say, "Be faithful." Be faithful. Hey, I want to serve. I want to teach a class. Then show up to a class. Amen? Timothy was a proven servant. Hey, we all remember John Mark, right? What'd he do? Quit. Now listen, I think Barnabas had it right. John Mark was young, he made a mistake, but he did quit. And the Apostle Paul, remember that strife between Barnabas and Paul and how they disagreed? But you know what? Timothy didn't quit. Hey, was it Brother Heil said hallelujah for the elder brother? Hallelujah for the elder brother. Hey, what does that mean? Well, when the prodigal went off and just lived in riotous living, who did the work? The elder brother. The elder brother did. Amen. Probably had to do twice as much. You know, Timothy was a proven servant. So, Paul said to the church of Philippi, you know the proof of him. You know who he is. Hey, you know what, church? You know who he is. You know who he is. This young man that God brought to us that we love, it's proven. Verse 22, do you know the proof of him? That as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. You know, Timothy to the Apostle Paul was a beloved servant. It was a father-son relationship. It was a father-son relationship. I remember my pastor said to me, he said, you know, you're my Timothy. I was the first one to be saved and called out of his ministry and that God worked in a special way. He said, you're my Timothy. It's a term of affection, isn't it? Father and son. Sometimes Pastor Donald and I will go to a restaurant. And I'll pay. And the people will look at us and Pastor Donald will say, thanks, Dad. because of the difference in age, you know. I'm 45 and he's not. Amen. Say, thanks. I'd be a pretty young dad. Amen. About 18 when I had him, I guess. Amen. Hey, but listen. I remember when this young boy came into my youth group. And I remember seeing him. He was a moocher. I'm telling you, he was. We always went out to McDonald's afterwards, and he would come around with that hoarse voice from yelling and say, anybody got 12 cents? Anybody got 12 cents? Anybody got 11 cents? No, I don't. Oh, I want to buy a hamburger, but there's tax. Yeah, there is. There has been for the last 48 weeks that we've gone on visitation. There's been tax. I just don't have any on me, brother. I'm sorry. Amen. I watched him. By the way, it was about that time he was still crazy for Marissa. Stir crazy for Marissa as a young man. Young people, don't pay attention. No dating in the youth group. Amen. I remember in 2003 when we went to a conference out at Midwestern Baptist College. And we heard a man named John Hamlin preach. What you always get when you attend Whale University on Jonah. And I remember that young man going forward with several other young men and saying, the Lord has called me to preach and be a youth pastor. Folks, that was 17 years ago. 2003, 14 years ago, I'm sorry. 2003. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if he is to you, but to me, he's beloved. Yeah. He's a precious son in the faith. For some of you elder saints, he could be a precious grandson in the faith. But I'm going to tell you this, beyond all else, he's a man of God. Yeah. I remember when he came and preached and candidated. And I didn't realize all that was going on in our church at the time. But I'll never forget Linda Kirkland. I said to Linda and Sherry and some of the other kids that would have kids coming up in their youth group, she said, boy, he looks young. That's what Linda said. Boy, he looks young. And he does. He still does. Amen. I said, well, go down and hear him preach. I said, go down. Just go down and sit in the back of junior church. And I can't remember the figure, Linda. I think it was, did you say, said looks like he's 13, preaches like he's 33. Amen. And something like that. Amen. And but it was a blessing. He's a beloved servant. He's beloved to me. Listen, I didn't bring Pastor Donald here. We brought him here. I thank God that God laid him on my heart those years ago. God laid him on my heart. He's a beloved servant, just like Timothy. He's a proven servant. He's a spiritual servant. He's a caring servant. He's a comforting servant. He's a trusted servant. And then lastly, Timothy, verse 22, says, "You know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel." You know what that means? He was a willing servant. He was a willing servant. I've done two staff interviews. Interviews for staff position. And my first question, I asked it to Pastor Mark. I'd ask it to anybody else if God would grow our church and grow our staff. And Unc, it's this. If God called you to us, would you be willing to work a full-time job if you had to? And if the answer is yes, we continue with the interview. And if the answer is no, we do not continue with the interview. Because the interview is prefaced by the phrase, if God calls you here. You see, when we got our Timothy, I already knew he was a willing servant. He was working a job and doing a great job in the ministry. I knew that. I already knew that a long time ago. And I thank God. Timothy, listen, I think about Timothy here in this text. A staff position with Paul was not exactly a picnic. You've heard me say it before. When Paul got to town, Brother Drake, he looked for two things. He looked for the synagogue, because that's where he was going first. And he looked to see where the jail was, because that's where he was going next. Amen. Maybe the pinnacle of the city where they were going to try to stone him for what he was preaching. And that's what Timothy got into. And Timothy proved this very simply. He proved that he was willing to go anywhere, according to verse 19. He said, I'm going to send Timothy. He proved that he was willing to help anyone, which is what Philippians 2 is all about, helping others, having the mind of Christ. And he proved that he was willing to sacrifice anything. Because if Paul suffered, Timothy did too. I'm thankful we have a willing servant. I'm thankful for that. I said in men's prayer, I said, I don't think I will ever preach this message again. It's a once-in-a-lifetime message. Some messages you preach again. I'm thankful for our own Timothy. I'm thankful. I know you are too. We're going to have a unique invitation tonight. I'm going to ask Pastor Donald and Marissa if they would come to the altar. And I'd like to ask our people, those of you that are able, to just come and pray with this couple. Pray over this couple. And then I'm going to have one of our deacons close. We're going to make a presentation and we'll go down and have some fellowship. Brother Merrill, would you come? Just play a hymn of invitation of your choice, brother, please. Church, would you come? Would you come? And just pray. We thank God for you, precious couple. I mean that with all my heart. 5 years. Amazing. It's absolutely amazing. What's even more amazing is I've known you for, Miss Marissa, I've known you for 20. Pastor Donald for 15. God brought you here and God's using you in great ways. And we want it to continue, don't we, church? I want you to be Katia's youth pastor. Amen. I thank God for 5 years. That's way past average. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let's pray, folks. As many of you are praying, I'd like to ask a couple of our deacons. I'd like to ask Brother Leonard. if you'd come up to the platform, sir. Brother Kelly, would you please come up? Brother Joe, come on up to the platform. Just a prayer of dedication for this precious family that we love so very much. Brother Leonard's going to pray, and then Brother Kelly's going to pray, and I know many of you are praying. Pray for Bubba. Pray for Sethy. Pray for little Charlie and Brady. For God's blessing upon them. This is what the local church is, ladies and gentlemen. Services like this. Precious times. God's glorified, yes. But the Bible says to give honor to whom honor's due as well. Especially those that labor in the word and doctrine. Brother Leonard's going to pray. Brother Kelly's going to pray. And we'll have a presentation. And we'll have some fellowship tonight. Brother Tim.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Savini family. We thank you that you brought them here to this body of believers. Lord, I think today of a wicked world in which we live. Lord, how it's hard to find a man who will dedicate himself and give himself for your use. Lord, I thank you and praise you. Lord, I pray that we would always keep that in our minds as we are gracious to Pastor Donald and his family. Lord, we thank you for his love for you, for his dedication, his willingness to serve you when so many will not. Lord, I thank you that you've brought him here. Lord, now we need your spirit upon his life. I pray that he'd be a willing servant, not just willing, but a servant that will yield totally to you, Lord. Thanks for the work that's been done, but we look forward to the work ahead. Lord, I pray that he'll willingly yield himself to your spirit. You'll do great and mighty things through he and his family. Bless this ministry and bless the youth ministry here. In Christ's name we ask.
Father, we thank you once again for a service such as this that we can be a part of, and we can know that certainly God is in it. We thank thee for our pastor. Years even before we knew Pastor Donald and Marissa, could see in him the leadership that he needed for being in the position he's in today. Bless our time of fellowship here this night, and we thank thee for bringing him and Marissa to us. We pray, Lord, now as we go down to the service downstairs where we're going to have a time of fellowship, we pray, Lord, that that might be a sweet time of fellowship and we can leave the house of God this night knowing that God is with each and every step of the way of our lives in this church. We thank thee for our church. We thank thee for the fact that we can even be here this night and for the fellowship that we have. We thank thee for it all. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I'd like to ask the deacons to come on the platform if you could. Amen. Come on up, those of you that are in. I know Brother Jeff is there in the booth. You can come on up, Brother Jeff and Brother Jackson. I think just Brother Miller is not here. Pastor Donald, Mr.